Good morning, church. Shalom to you, and so good to be back. You know, it's been such a whirlwind time, and by the way, I want to wish all of you Merry Christmas. Some of you have just come back from roaming to and fro the whole earth, and enjoying your holidays with your family everywhere. And now you're coming back with us. We're so glad to have you back. Do Merry Christmas, because the 12 days. I do have a Christmas present for all of you. We just came back from Israel, nearly a month. Just 3 weeks ago. And one of the things I picked up in Israel is this, these two things you see, these two dots here, right? It's actually for all of you. That's a mite, right? It's what you call the widow's mite, or in Greek it's called a lepton. That's what the scent that the widow put in. It's the smallest denomination that a person could have. And the Bible says that this was all that poor widow had. It was all she had, and she put it in. And, you know, Jesus saw it and said she gave all that she had. God sees it, right? So I got a picture for you. It looks really big up there. You know, that on the right-hand side is what I call a messianic star. And then on the left-hand side is an inverted anchor. So very, very interesting story. I'm going to put this up somewhere in church so that you guys can take a closer look at it. But just a little gift to all of you. But I do have another coin, actually. What happened was, you know, this guy was selling these coins, and Constance was bargaining. She's much better at bargaining than me. I already paid. Then she grabbed another coin and said, this one also take. So I do have another coin here. This is really interesting because you can't see this one. I don't have a photo of it. But on this side, it's a castle, right, with a star, a Roman castle with a star on it. On this side is the face of emperor. Called Constantine. His name is actually written, right? It's Constantinus, right? So very interesting, because you remember in Matthew, there was this incident where they were trying to test Jesus, and they asked Jesus about taxes, right? And Jesus said, look at the coin. Whose face and name is inscribed on it? And then they said, Caesar. And then Jesus says, surrender to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and render to God that which belongs to God. So, you know, they look at this coin and say, okay, this belongs to Caesar. But what belongs to God? That's a profound question, right? It's easy to answer what belongs to Caesar. But what belongs to God? What do you think belongs to God? Well, we belong to God. Actually, everything belongs to God, but particularly our hearts, we belong to God. So, you know, we just came back from Israel, and the very first day, we found ourselves actually at a place called Shiloh. Some of you may know this. And this is where Hannah, remember Hannah? She was praying for a son. She was barren. She was praying. And Eli, and the reason she was praying at Shiloh is because the Ark of the Covenant at that point of time when they entered the Promised Land was at Shiloh for 369 years before it was eventually moved elsewhere. So that was God's first old address, right? So and she was praying there, and I found myself, because you know they were up there watching the movie, so I actually walked down to where the excavation was for where the original position of the ark was. I went there, I was praying for you guys, right? I was thinking, well, I'm here, I might as well pray for all of you. That's a lot of you, you know, so many. And I'm just thinking, you know, this person is sick, this person is not well, this person is going through all these things. And, you know, with all these things, you begin to wonder, you know, Lord, this is too many of these things to pray for. Really too much to pray for. And this is very little time to pray for all of you. Then, of course, I'm reminded that, you know, because in Jerusalem, you go to many places, and these places all remind you of this. One of the places that you go to is a place called the Tomb of Lazarus, right? Now, you remember Lazarus, right? He went in and he came out, but eventually he went back in again. You know this, right? He didn't live forever, right there. He eventually died, and I think, yeah, this world, you know, with all its troubles and all its sicknesses and all the struggles that we face, we are just passing through, right? We are actually headed for a spiritual home that is higher. Amen. Amen. Whatever problems we are going through, we are just passing through. This is not our home. We are just pilgrims here. And whatever problems you have here, eventually you will leave them behind to be with God. Amen. So, you know, I was thinking about this, and I was just praying about all this. And even today, you know, I know many of us are unwell, and, you know, we're praying for God to help us through all kinds of trials and tribulations in our lives. But one day, Jesus will come, and we will be with Him. And that will be such a glorious day indeed. So, you know, coming back, we're thinking, what else should I bring back? Because there's this very interesting verse in 2 Kings chapter 5. Now, some of you may remember this. There was this guy called Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian general, and he had leprosy. So he went to Israel to look for healing, because he had heard that there was a prophet there. Eventually, he finds himself healed by Elisha, you know, we call it Elisha or Elisha. So Elisha heals him, and he was so grateful. He was so grateful. He says, now I know there's no other God, right? There's no God except for Jehovah, except for this God in Israel. And he wanted to express his thanksgiving. He wanted to show his thanksgiving to Elisha and to God, because he had brought so much gold and, you know, silver with him. So he wanted to give. But Elisha said, no, I will not have any of it. I'm not going to touch any of these things, right? So Elisha said, no. Now, Naaman goes on to, I mean, there's a lot in that story, right? I'm just kind of cutting through all of that. But he says something in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 17, which is really interesting. Now, in this verse, he says, okay, right, thank you very much. All I ask, please give your servant 2 mule loads of earth. 2 donkey loads of, I guess, soil and sand and, you know, earth, right? And then he goes on to say something else, right? Because he says, because I no longer want to worship, I no longer want to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other gods except for Yahuwah. So this guy is totally converted. He's totally converted. But what's this business about 2 donkey loads of earth? Because I was thinking about bringing some of that back, but not that much, because, you know, you have, even with a PPS solitaire, you can only take 60 kilograms of earth if they've got nothing else, right? So what was he talking about? Well, you see, here's something that a lot of people, I haven't heard anyone talk about this. The reason why he wants earth is because back in those days, they had this mentality that gods were territorial, right? So the God of Israel was God over the land of Israel. So you go back to Syria, there were other gods in those days. That was sort of like how they used to think, right? And he thought, in order to worship the God of Israel, you had to be in Israel, or at the very least, you have to take this sand, and the amount of sand, presumably he wanted to build an altar out of that sand in order to worship the God of Israel. But today, we are here, we don't have sand from Israel. Our sand probably comes from Indonesia, maybe Vietnam, right? But we do not build our altars on those soil, right? What do we build our altars on? What do you reckon? You are the living stones in the temple of God. You get it? So, you know, actually the Bible is amazing, right? Because we are these living stones. You no longer build it because we have been sanctified. Jesus, when he came, he sanctifies us. He makes you the living stones upon which to build that altar. And today, as we are gathered here, we are actually assembling, as it were, an altar to God, right? We are building with you the living stones that have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's to say, you have been made holy. Now you belong to God. You are this donkey loads of sand, if you like, that is being used to assemble an altar so that we can bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving to our God. Amen? That's what you are this morning. Okay? Now, so I turn to your neighbor and say, you are sand. No, don't do that, right? But that's actually what we are. We are living stones. Amen? And that means that God is here. God is here because this now is his altar. Right? So today, we want to, you know, usually my last sermon of every year, if you haven't figured it out yet, is always about Thanksgiving. Right? It's a time when we look back at the year, and then today in particular, we are just looking back at a whole decade. You know, I just realized that this coming February, which is in just, actually end of January, I'll be in Coos for 9 years already. That time has gone by so quickly, right? When I came, my daughter was still in junior college, and now, you know, so it's just, one more year and that's like 10 years already, right? So I've served out my sentence, you know, so this week. But we're going to continue because, you know, we want to talk about Thanksgiving. And that's something so important. So while the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, they were about to go to the promised land. They were not there yet, right? They are making their way to the promised land. And of course, in that wilderness, they were, you, Your life wasn't easy because you were nomadic, right? You keep moving every time. You couldn't really settle down. You'd be in one place for, you know, a month or two, and then you move on to another place and so on and so forth. And of course, you had to contend with all the, you know, the wild beasts and the problems and the weather of the wilderness. They were not exactly happy because their heart were not settled. They were waiting to enter into the rest, into the rest meaning the Sabbath of the Lord, right? Sabbath is a rest. They were waiting to enter into the rest of God when they no longer have to worry about, you know, provision. They no longer have to worry about where water is going to come from. They no longer have to worry about food or their house or their future. They no longer have to worry about enemies encroaching upon them. They were all looking to the promised land as you and I are looking for the second return of Jesus. Because we are thinking, you know, I would just like to put down all these burdens. And this morning, some of you have come here with burdens on your mind. You're worried about your jobs. You know, you're worried about how the economy of this new year 2020 will be. You're worried about your children. You're worried about, you know, all kinds of things. Maybe your health, some of you. And we're carrying all these things and we're waiting for the day that you can put this all down. And you should say, finally, you know, and I'm thinking about that because, you know, I've not taken a sabbatical. You know, you heard about people taking sabbaticals. I've been in ministry for 30 years now, and I've not taken a sabbatical yet. You know, I keep saying soon, soon, pretty soon I can retire. Actually, I can retire in 8 years time already, right? So, you know, this is just something that we all aspire to, a heavenly home, a promised land of rest. So, they were on their way, but they are not there yet. And so this is what Moses is telling them in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 10 to 12. He says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. You know, just remember that Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, they received the promise, but they never saw this founding of the nation. They were in the land, I was told. They lived in the land, well, you know, here and there. But not exactly owning property within. I mean, Jacob was down south, right? I mean, Jacob and Laban, they were fighting over different... Sorry. Abraham and Lot. Abraham and Lot were fighting over southern properties, right? Sodom and Gomorrah and then Hebron and all this. But they never really owned the land. It wasn't their land. It was Canaan. It belonged to other people. So they never saw the promise, yet they held on to it. So Moses is saying that you are about to go in and you're about to see the fulfillment of this promise and to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Houses full of all good things which you did not fill. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you, or you forget Jehovah who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. When we think about Thanksgiving, there are really two concepts that we want to, you know, capture here, right? The first is not forgetting. Not forgetting, alright? That is to say, remembering. He gives a warning. Beware, warning, lest you forget Jehovah. I don't know about you, I'm coming to a point in my life where memory is starting to be a real challenge, you know. This morning, I was leaving the house, and I just tried to leave the house, I forgot the key, put on my shoe, I really got to take off my shoe again, yell out to my wife, you know, okay, get me the keys, you know. I got the keys, and I came to the office, and I was coming down here, and then I forgot something. I forgot to take this, and go upstairs. You know, this happens to me a lot. I don't know if this happens to you. I will go in the room, and I think, you know I came here to get something, right? But for the life of me, I cannot remember what it was I wanted to get. Then I think, okay, never mind, I go out. And about 2 minutes after I leave, oh yes, you know, now I remember. I came back. Now, I told this yesterday, and someone came and told me, Pastor, at least you're better. I left the house already, then I remember. You know, then I come back. That happens to me also. You know, memory is such a difficult thing sometimes, right? So, you know, Moses knew it. He says, beware. But he wasn't just telling them to beware because their memory is fading. He's telling to beware because he understands human nature. He knows human nature, right? He knows that when times are tough, you're always thinking about God. While they were in the wilderness, they had to rely on God every single day because manna would appear in the morning, right? They would collect this miraculous food that, you know, would appear, they collect it, they will cook it, bake it, whatever, they eat it. By night time, this thing would rot. So you cannot keep it overnight. So every new day, you had to go to the Lord. And you would thank God. Thank God, this morning, the miracle appeared again. You know, it happened again. Thank God. So every day they would thank God. But now, this miracle would end the day that they went into the promised land, right? When they went to the promised land, that miracle stopped. So from that day onwards, there was no more manna because they were eating of the fruit of the land. But with the fruit of the land, suddenly, you don't have to pray to God anymore. You don't have to wait for the miracle anymore, do you? Because now, with your hands, you can cultivate, you can rear animals. You didn't have to, as it were, rely on God so much. You probably still need to pray for rain and good weather and, you know, stuff like that. But it was easy for them to forget God because, you know, you were a little bit less, I guess, dependent perhaps in their minds, right? And how sometimes we don't notice these changes in our lives. In the same way, you know, my daughter, when she was, you know, I was just going through all these old photos, you know, it's like what I like to do, and I was trying to find some of my older photos, and some of the photos were my daughter when she was very young. She was very young, and I was looking at that and I said, wow, how did you go from that to what she is now, right? And you almost don't notice it because you're there every day. Every day the changes are happening, but you don't notice it. And so, you forget. Same for these people. 40 years of going from slavery to the promised land. 40 years. It's a pretty long time, right? Every day, you know, there's some changes. Sometimes things look like getting better. Sometimes things appear that they're getting worse. But slowly and surely, they were moving into the promised land. And maybe, after a while, you forget. You forget what slavery was like. You forget how bad it was baking bricks under the hot sun in Egypt under their slave drivers. You forget those things, however bad it was. And sometimes, you know, you just allow yourself to take things for granted. So Moses says, you know, remember. Remember lest you forget. I wonder if we remember. You know, today, as we look at our lives, Singaporeans, we like to complain. This is like a national pastime. You know, if Olympics got complaining, we should get going. So, we would like to complain. But when you travel around, as some of you may have done so, you know, you start to appreciate how good Singapore is. Do you do that? You start to do, I mean, you know, Singapore this, Singapore that. You go to Hong Kong, lah. So, no offense to Hong Kongers right now, right? It's not exactly the holiday destination of choice right now, is it? Right? Or maybe you like to try, you know, Britain in the midst of Brexit. Now some of you actually just came back from there, I know, right? And you go to all these places. You know, I came back from Israel. I thought, wow, Singapore weather is so good in December. It's so good, right? And I was thinking, with weather like this, because I wake up in the morning, I walk out, and you know, the air is cool, the wind is blowing, and it's just so nice. With weather like this, I don't need to go anywhere, right? I can just stay right here in Singapore because the weather is good here. And you could go to somewhere really cold. Right? I don't know about you. Actually, I think snow is overrated, right? I don't really like snow because it gets wet, you get dirty, and you know, you can't sit down anywhere. You go toilet, sit down, you jump up again because everything is so freezing cold, right? Or you could go to Australia where, you know, even in Tasmania, 40 degrees. Singapore is where God has brought us, and I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I'm thinking, you know what? Although we complain so much, actually, we should be grateful. We are grateful for where you are. I don't know about you. I'm grateful where I am, right? So, you know, when we go through this, it's very easy to take things for granted. So Moses says to them, here's a warning. Here's the warning, right? That you should remember. You should remember where God has brought us from to where we are today. I do not know if our circumstances today are free of all kinds of challenges, but remember where you were. And, you know, as I was going through all these photos of years past, and I don't have really old photos because those days we didn't have these digital cameras, right? So I have some scanned photos, which are really, really old. And I'll look at this and say, thank you, Lord. thank you for all you've done. I never imagined the day would be here, right? And for many of us who are here today, we are so blessed. It's incredible when you think about it. There was a time before internet. Last time is before Christ and after Christ. Now it's before internet and after internet. There was a time before you guys could go online and do stuff. There was a time when our phones actually had wires. Some young people don't know. What's the thing hanging? Is it charging cable? No. Our phone used to have wires. You want to have a mobile phone, long wire, no? You know, walk all around the house with a long wire. Some of you remember those days when nowadays young people say dial the number. They don't understand what dial actually means because they've never seen a dial, right? So, you know, remember. So maybe you look back in your own life. Of course, when you look back, you don't see just the good things, right? You see all kinds of things, all the journey. But on the whole, you will remember a lot. The second thing, it says in this verse, when you have eaten and are full. When you're eaten and are full. It's very important, right? You know, I eat out almost every day. My wife, you know, bring her out to dinner, and you know, we go all kinds of places, usually aircon places, lah, because my wife likes aircon. So, you know, we go to all these aircon places, usually in supermarkets, right? And you know how it's like with supermarkets, always in the basement, the food places, usually, right? The cheap ones anyway. So, and where the food place is, there's always all these other food places like Takashimaya. There's all these other places where you can buy all kinds of ice cream, crackers, all kinds of food stuff. And I always tell my wife, you know, we should shop after we eat and we are full. Because if you are shopping before you eat, you buy all kinds of things that you actually don't want. Because everything looks good to you. Wow, this one also buy it. Because you're hungry, you see, right? So you buy all kinds of things. Then after you eat and you're full, you say, why did I buy all these things? Actually, I don't even eat these things, right? So, you know, after you're satisfied. So the word here, full, means when you're satisfied, you're filled. Then you no longer have this wanting. You don't have this sense of desiring something more, right? When you're full. I know some of us, you know, sometimes after eating, we are not full, right? And I know how it's like when in Israel, because, you know, I don't really like Israeli food. I love Israel, but I don't like Israeli food, you know, hummus, and all this other stuff. Generally, I have a rule. If I cannot identify it, I usually don't eat it. So it means a lot of things I don't eat because I cannot identify, right? And if I can identify it, it's green color, I also don't eat. So, you know, I have to wait a long time. In Israeli food, the real meat dish comes like 20, 30 minutes after the all the starters, right? And for those of you who go first time, you don't know, you see? You think the starter is the main meal because it takes so long for the meats to come out. So you eat until you're full already. Then suddenly, oh, the meats come out. You think, hey, how come now they come out? Now I'm full already. So now I'm smart. I just don't eat. Everyone's like, oh, Pastor, you don't eat. No, I'm waiting for the good stuff, right? It's always coming at the end. But sometimes because I don't eat so many things, after eating, I'm still hungry. So I'm still looking for, you know, thankfully I got bakwa, right? So eat bakwa. You want something else. Moses says, remember this, when you're eaten and you're full, you no longer desire anything. Maybe you don't even desire God anymore, right? Because you're full already. Life is good. Things have worked out. You have secured your, you know, retirement savings, your house is paid up for. You've got pretty much everything. That is the time you're most likely to forget God. When you're eaten and you're full. You follow? When things are good in your life. I mean, when things are bad in your life, you know, when the aeroplane flying, sometimes you have big turbulence. You feel like you're falling through the sky sometimes, right? That is the time we're going to preach the gospel. Whole plane will believe Jesus. Instantly, you have a prayer meeting in the whole plane, right? But when the plane is going, you know, you're nicely taxiing away, nobody will listen to you, right? So, Moses reminds them, remember this. When things are going well for you in your life, when some of these worries that you're carrying now, they are down, they're no longer carried by you, you have entered in the rest, that is when you need to remember to give thanks to God. Don't forget God, right? So, it is important, right? Gratitude comes when we are satisfied with God and not merely with the things of the world. When you're full and you're happy with God, that's when you really enter into rest. Today, there are many people who cannot be rested. Even if it's a Sunday or a Sabbath day, they cannot rest because in their minds, there are many things that they're still hungry. They're just looking for something, right? So, there are two dangers. One, you're not satisfied. You're not satisfied with God. right? You don't accept what it is that God has given you as sufficient to you. It's like, no, well, it's okay, but I really need something more. And that's really what leads so many people into idolatry, because this is not enough. God is not enough for them. On the other hand, there are also other people who have been satisfied and they forget God. So we're talking about gratitude. So today, as we come to the end of year and look back, I don't know about you. You know, I think some people say the cup is half empty. I'm not sure whether you are the half empty cup sort of person. Right? Look around you, see, it's a half empty. Some of you are the cup is half full sort of person. Right? So, what kind of person are you? I'm sort of like, thank God I have a cup kind of person. Like, I'm glad that I have a cup. And my cup is always overflowing. Because you're satisfied. Amen? Okay, so Psalm 69. Psalm 69 verse 30, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull. Right? And then later on it says, the humble shall see this and be glad, and you who seek God, your hearts shall live. So it's telling us that when God does all these wonderful things in our lives, right? When God has satisfied you, has let you eat, and you are full now, what does God want in return, right? After you've eaten and you're full. Now, nowadays in Singapore, there are many places where you pay first, then you eat, right? You order, you pay first, then you sit down, the food comes, and then you eat. But usually, you eat, and then you call for the bill, right? And then you pay. Okay, now we've eaten and we're full. And now we call for the bill. What is on the bill? What does God want from you? Well, there's nothing God needs from you, right? It's hard to give God something. You know, we're just finishing the season of Christmas, which is a season of trying hard to figure out what to give people, right? I don't know if you have this problem during Christmas where you, what should I buy for this person, you know? Buy shirt, then got to know what size, you know. If I buy too big, it might think that I think it's fat. I buy too small, then, you know, obviously cannot wear it. You know, people struggle. And then this other person, he's got everything already. So we all gravitate towards those generic gifts, like chocolates, you know, which, you know, just like everyone's got to eat some of this, right? What do you give someone who has everything? Well, in Singapore, during Christmas, you give them something that they can give to other people if they don't want, right? So, you know, get very safe gifts. What do you give to God after He has done all these things? The Bible says, this pleases God. That is to say, thanksgiving and gratitude from our heart pleases God. You see, gratitude is not saying politically correct words, right? Say thank you. No, gratitude is the natural fruit of your satisfaction with God. When you're full, you're eaten, you're full. Gratitude is the natural fruit. It comes out naturally. And this is what pleases God. More than just sacrifices, and those have their place, right? There's a certain role and place for those kind of burnt offering and sacrifices. But what God ultimately looks at is your heart. It's your heart, the heart that says, God, thank you. Thank you. You know, like I said, there are many days that I wake up in the morning and I walk outside and I'm like, I like the wind, you know, I always tell my wife, I like the wind here. And some days the wind is cold, which I particularly like, and I say, you know, thank you, God. Thank you that I'm alive. I don't need many things. Besides, this whole world is just passing away, right? So, I'm grateful, I'm thankful. And then you just naturally want to express your thanksgiving to God. That is what God desires. After all that He's done for you, this pleases Him. Our thanksgiving, right? Now, again, it's not about saying the correct words. Because sometimes we can just say those words even though your heart doesn't really feel it. But, you know, I guess I should say these words in case I offend God. You know, you can't offend God because God sees your heart really, right? So, I think it's important for us to have this heart of gratitude. Now, how does one, you know, how is this heart going to become grateful? It says, the humble shall see this and be glad. And that's a really important principle of how you can have a grateful and a thankful heart. Because some people think that gratitude is the product of the abundance of God's blessing in your life. In other words, I receive so much, I'm so happy, right? But you see, it's such a funny thing. You see, satisfaction is such a funny thing about life, because the same thing that makes one person very satisfied can make someone else very dissatisfied. You follow? You give the same thing to one person, he's so happy, you know, thanking you. The other person will like, oh, like that only, right? Not happy with it. So, you know, we like to think that, oh, okay, I can be thankful. If only God would give me more stuff, more health, more wealth, more prosperity, then I will be happy. But, you know, I'm telling you, gratitude is not about how many things you receive externally. Gratitude is actually the product of something more fundamental. The Bible calls it a humble heart. It is a condition of the heart. That humility of your heart is the starting place, is the birthplace of thanksgiving, right? It's the birthplace of gratitude in our hearts. It is the humility is the awareness of the fragility of life. Fragility of life. You know, in Singapore it's very strange. We are small country, right? Small, we don't have many resources, but we are very prosperous as a nation. Whatever complaints you might be. See, I understand this because I came from Malaysia. Right? I've seen what Malaysia is like. Okay? Right? And there are other people who come from even worse places. Malaysia is not so bad these days also. So pretty good. Right? Of course, you know, you got all kinds of problems with crime and all sorts of things. But, look, it could be a lot worse. Right? So, when you travel a little bit, and you come back, you start to think, yeah, actually Singapore is really not that bad. Because why? Our normal is a bit different. If you have only grown up in Singapore, and you've never been anywhere else, your normal is up here. Right? But Singapore's normal is not normal at all. In Singapore, if you're a beggar, you give them some old ragtag shoe, they don't want it, has to be Nike or something nice. Right? In Singapore, the beggars are actually licensed. Right? Which country do you have? Oh, I'm a beggar. Here's my license, by the way. Right? You can donate, and I'll get some discount for your charity. You know, I mean, this is, no matter how you look at it, our normal is way above. We are probably in the top 10 percentile of the world. Probably. Even the poorest person here. And that's not saying that their lives are easy. But compared to some people somewhere else, we are pretty good, right? So that humility is about what your normal is, you see. If you are up here all the time, would you like to move to Yemen or to one of these African countries? Would you like to do that? I've been there. See, our normal is aircon in a church service. Nice sound system, no feedback, right? I was in Sudan for a church service, right? And because it was an Anglican service, I had to put my robe on, you know, the cassock, and I have to wear the stole, and, you know, all these kind of things. The service was 4 hours long. 4 hours long. No aircon, huh? And you know, Sudan is worse, hotter than here. So, because you don't have aircon, what do? They got bottles and bottles of this mineral water on the floor. Because I see all these bishops, they're perspiring like water pipes like that. They are soaking wet. What's 4 hours sitting in a hot sun like this? Their worship. Our worship is about 25, 30 minutes. Their worship, they're normal. They'll sing a song. After 25, 30 minutes, they continue singing 40 minutes, 50 minutes, 1 hour. Around the 1 hour mark, I was thinking, hey, is there any service at all? Because, you know, for us, 2 hours only service, right? You can't be singing that long. I didn't know their service was 4 hours. This is just like warming up only. And then, as around the 1 hour mark, the music starts to die down. Because they like to dance and everything. They're jumping everywhere. The music starts to die down. You're thinking, okay, finally, let's get on with, you know, the service. Then one lady in front would jump up, hallelujah, everyone starts over again. Why you do that? We're almost there already. You know, that's their normal, right? You're in that service, 1 hour, just starting only. Just starting. I was thinking, you know, we think we are normal, right? But those guys, they will go on and on and on, oh dear Lord, you know, and after 4 hours of service, the fellowship will last another 2 hours, right, in the badminton hall. I said, wow, that's something, right? And I'm thinking, well, I don't know about you, I love the Africans, but I'm glad I'm here in Singapore, right? Because our normal is different. So humility is about what your normal is. And you know what's normal? Normal is life is fragile. Life is something that cannot be taken for granted, right? We think, you know, Singapore today, it's one of the places where you can have the longest life expectancy in the world. One of the longest. Believe it or not, right? With all these problems with sicknesses and illness and all that, because, you know, our medical services are actually pretty good and all that, people live longer. But there used to be a time when people's normal life expectancy was probably 45, 50 years old, 55 years old, that's it. Alright? In that, by that standard, I'm already dead already. Right? That's not how long you live normally. So, you know, when you think about it, what is our normal before God? Well, we remember, first of all, we are mortal. You know, life is actually not something that we take for granted. Every new day that you wake up and you breathe is a gift from God. And that's how I feel. Every day, I thank God. I thank God for, you know, the things I have to do. I thank God for all the things that I'm able to do. Because, you know, lately sometimes I get a bit morbid. I think, if I die, then how on earth church, who will take care of us? Then lately I'm starting to feel a bit better. Okay, now we got more leaders, you know. You guys have grown up so much. And I don't mind, you know, if I die, I think I can be quite happy about it, you know. I'm quite alright. So I tend to think like this. Because, you know why? It could happen to any of us. Really, when I hear so many stories about all kinds of things happening, people are saying, you know what, every day is a gift from God. And that is the position of humility, right? That's your normal. Anything above that is bonus already. But when you're starting, when your expectation is way up here, then anything less, you start to complain. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why the humble will see, it's not because God rewards the humble, but because the humble, their eyes are open to see the gifts that God has given to them. But those who are not humble, they cannot see it. Even when they receive it, they don't see it, right? So this is what the psalmist was saying, that the humble will see this and you'll be glad. If you are humble today, yes, you might look at all the problems in your life, but you realize that you can even face these problems means you're around, right? So today, you're here at the end of 2019, the end of the decade, the 201X decade, right? Congratulations, you made it! I mean, look, there are many people who didn't make it, but you made it. Some of you had illnesses, serious illnesses in this past decade. Guess what? You made it. You are here today. Amen? I'm grateful. Some of us are struggling. You're still struggling with illnesses, but guess what? You made it. You are here. You know, in Job chapter 2, verse 7 to the end, it helps us to see a slightly different perspective to this whole thing, right? It says Satan, and of course here Satan is not just the enemy Satan, he is this prosecutor in the court of God, right? He goes out from the presence of the Lord, he struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. So this guy was miserable, he was all kinds of illness, you know, from the very top of his head, you know, he has all these boils and painful, and he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Now the ashes, because house burned down, the children's house all burned down. This guy was miserable. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong. And he was using a piece of pottery and just scraping himself. His wife says to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." Now here's where he says something truly profound. He says, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." So, shall we accept good from God? Shall we not accept adversity? Very profound spiritual words, actually. What it's telling you is that you don't just give thanks for good things, you give thanks for everything. Wow. Giving thanks to God for my diabetes, or giving thanks to God for my, you know, cancer. How? That's difficult. Why should we give? Well, Job is saying that it doesn't matter whether your cup is full or your cup is half full or half empty. You have a cup. And that is what you give thanks for. Regardless of whether it's half full or half empty. Now, this is basically his whole point. And I think as we look back in our life, we don't just thank God for the good things. We thank Him for the adversities and challenges. As I look back into my own life, I've discovered something very strange. I grow the most when I'm facing trials, when I'm facing challenges. I grow the least when things are going well. When things are going well, everyone is in this called noir mode, right? Just noir, don't do anything. But when you are going through challenges, that's when you're praying. That's when you're seeking the face of God. That's when you're searching to understand God more. That's when you are actually growing. And you realize that, wow, if not for those challenges, I wouldn't have grown. I wouldn't have become the person I am. Were they pleasant? No, they were not pleasant. Very, very unpleasant. Sometimes very painful challenges in life. But if not for those things, we would not have grown. You follow what I'm saying? So there is a purpose, because God is the bus driver, ma. As long as you're on the bus, doesn't matter where the bus meanders to, He is the driver, and that's what you're thanking God for. So, truly profound, right? So, as we draw to the end of this 2019, and again, as I mentioned, finishing up my 9th year here, when I first came to Church of Savior, I was in my early 40s, and you could say a prime of your life. And thank God for that, because I didn't realize how difficult it was. First few years, I thought, okay, we'll just get this vision and thing going, you know, church what, right? Oh, little did I know what I was in for, right? First 2 years was just fighting fire left, right, and center, right? Oh, here got fire, put out. Oh, there got fire, put out. Oh, behind your back also got fire. You know, I mean, it's like, it's really challenging. You don't know what's going on. It's like running around like headless chicken. But I guess after about 2 years, things started to settle down a little bit, right? Some semblance of sanity was returning, and there was some clarity. I think some of you remember around 2013, 2014 was when we started on this whole covenant series. Right, and that was when I started thinking, yeah, this is what we want to do. Actually, I was just trying to follow the Bible, you see, how Moses established a covenant with the people, right? And later on, he would appoint these 70 elders to, actually, that's what we've been doing. I don't know if you noticed that, right? Now we have our own lay leaders. I'm just trying to follow the Bible exactly as best as I can. And slowly things were starting to come about, and you know, I really thank God for all this. At the same time, I realized that I'm also getting old already. This one cannot be denied. You know, when I came, those days I can just take up something and look at this. Nowadays, I have to look like this because progressive lenses are, right? Now I will find why I look. People think I'm very proud. No, I'm not proud. I cannot see you. That's why I got to look like this. I'm not trying to point my nose at you, right? And it's so difficult. You know, sometimes you got to get just the right spot to see things. You know, like this, cannot. It's really difficult. At home, it's so difficult, Mike. Computer screen too high, too low, keep adjusting all the time because I cannot read them. It's really difficult, you know. Memory is failing me. I'm seriously worried for my memory. You know, I every day wake up and thank God if I didn't forget something important. Seriously, I'm very worried. You know, one time, and many years ago before I came to this church, there was one day I woke up. This is Saturday, and it's like, you know, usually Saturdays I'm just preparing for, those days the service was Sunday. So I'm not too worried on Saturdays, you know, can just prepare, pray. Then at around, let's say, 1 o'clock or so, my phone, you see, my phone has all this, calendar, sometimes it alert me. I got a wedding to do at 2 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock. I was panicking like mad. Oh no, you know, actually it's past one already. I realized I only got half an hour, and I was in Holland. The thing was in Sembawang. I said, how am I going to get there? Those days, got to get my Anglican robes and everything, and rush. I was like, Sailor, you know. I tell you, this is a pastor's nightmare. To forget something important, funeral or wedding or something like this. These kind of things, once you miss already, right? And somehow I was the person, miss, if I don't show up, they cannot get married. Other things I can tell other people, I can just sing song longer. This one cannot, because you start with a vows, ma. Oh, I was rushing, driving, rushing through, weaving through traffic, trying not to get myself killed, right? And when I got there, it was already 2 o'clock already, so I say, oh, die, die, die. And I step into it. Oh, thank God. The grandfather was half an hour late. Usually, I'm not happy when people are late. But that day, I was so grateful. I said, from now on, I'll never complain that people are late for wedding, you know. But normally, I'm never late. Normally, I'll be a half an hour early. But that day, my memory failed me. You know, every day I wake up and I think, did I forget anything important? It's literally, you can ask my wife, am I forgetting anything? Because you forget something, you don't know one, right? So am I forgetting something important? You know, these days, this kind of thing happen a lot. Thankfully, I haven't forgotten anything crucially important, right? Or at least I remember in time. But I imagine I'm no longer in my 40s already. I think, wow, as I go forward, the chance of this kind of thing happening might be very high now, right? Might be very high. That's why I'm trying to, don't ask me to do weddings or all these kind of things. I'm very scared I might forget. It's not that I don't want to do. I'm scared that I might just forget and don't show up altogether, you know? Something like this. And so, I'm grateful for the little things. The fact that I can just get up, walk around, right? it's true my eyesight is up and down like this, but at least I can still see. Right? I can still see. My memory is bad, but I still remember my wife's birthday, because that would be disastrous, you know. Forget, right? When you we're in Israel, because I'm the leader, they will ask me, okay, you come out here. They are asking me all kinds of things, you know. Okay, how many people in your group? 98. I think correct. 97. Are these all your group people? Do you know them? Yes, I know them. What's his name? That one. You know, I have a hard time with names. That one, thankfully, you point I roughly, agak lah, you point roughly there, I just say, OD lah, he's just standing around there, I know his name. I would say the one that I don't know the name. Wow, I tell you a memory. Do I thank God for these things? I thank God that I can still have you guys to remember, right? Really? So, you know, when I came, I was young, but now I'm finding that, wow, age is catching up, and we have to embrace these things, right? We have to embrace. And we also embrace the fact that once you had it, though you may not always have had it, once you've had it, and I'm grateful for having had it once. You know what I mean? I don't know how many of you had this experience of not wanting to come back from holiday. Have you had this experience? Yeah, you go on a nice holiday, and then the last day of holiday, man, everyone's depressed, you know. Oh, I've got to go back to work. Singapore. No, the thought of, it's just, you're dragging your feet, don't want to go back, right? Because to you, you're going back. Actually, you should be, thank God that I've had this holiday. But cannot. Now it's, you dread going back. You know, as I look back at my life, there are many things I used to be able to do that, you know, now I find it increasingly difficult to do. I'm glad that I had it. Though I don't now have it, I'm glad that I have it. And I thank God that I had it once. You follow? Right? So we look back, and in your life, you've had so many, many, many blessings from God. Perhaps it's not in your hands now, but it passed through your hands once. And we should be grateful for that. I'm grateful for this church as we look at this past 10 years to see how much we've grown as a family. You know, I've heard so many people come tell me that when they came to Church of Savior, they feel loved. Right? I would not have been happy if they told us that, oh, your building's so nice. Anyone can build nice building. But when they see the love that you have, and I know you guys have done so much. You guys have really risen up. You know, we have got so many different things that church is doing that even I cannot keep track of it now. Right? So many things. Some of the former things we know, right? We know some of the cells are running Alpha, running BOB. But beyond that, you guys are doing so many more things. Right? Our ministry now stretches from our community service goes from Dawson all the way to Gimo, right? They're doing so many things with people. Both the Chinese and the English ministries are reaching out to people. But even beyond this, you guys are reaching out on as a SIG, right? That means on your own accord. Some of you are reaching out to men, to women. Your ministries range from Batam all the way to Sabah. I know there are projects that you guys are running there, right? And even our Geylang ministry, by the way, had 25 salvations among the prostitutes of Geylang just this last Christmas, right? All these things are happening, and you know what? I thank God. I thank God. Because you know why? You guys are disciples. It's true, we cannot quote Bible verse and chapter. Not all of us anyway, right? Some of us can, Patricia probably can, but not all of us can do that. But you know what? You're living out the will and the purpose of God as a disciple. So I'm very grateful. I'm very thankful that we are a kingdom community. Amen. Amen. I'm of course grateful that, you know, in this past year, I've got you some slides, you know. By the way, we have a picture here that, you know, this is 2001 when I first came to KUS. I took this picture. I was sitting at the back, not sure where to sit those days, you know. So I sit everywhere, take picture. This was back in 2001. Notice the sanctuary was white color back then. Now we have modern color already, become black color already. Apparently the young people prefer this dark color, right? That was a long time ago. Some of you may remember that, the back of your head. Some of you have no more hair already. But you know, that used to be what it was like. All this have happened. Right? I think I have a next slide maybe. Right? Some of you don't even remember this because this happened at the youth. I think it's 2014. They had a National Day parade. In the youth service, right? They got all the NS men to come up. Some of you probably, because you don't go to youth service. It was amazing. These guys are no more in the, all POP, all they have long since left NS, started working. Some of them gotten married. Some have children already. Wow, that's much time has transpired. Some of you remember this, right? Well, actually, probably you didn't because you weren't there, right? But that was what our car park used to look like. After church, we'll see you outside in the car park. There are no refreshments, right? Those days, we'll just enjoy the hot sun together while trying to get our cars out. I remember nobody wanted to park in the corner because they put a potted plant there. Everyone will keep bumping the cars out there, see? So the corner, you can't even park, right? Next slide. Do you remember this? Ah, this old building, right? You remember this old building? And now you look outside, remember where God has brought us from, right? Sometimes, if not for the photos, we have forgotten this completely. But now we look at this and you realize, wow, God has brought us such a long way. Amen? Amen? You know, I am thankful for all the personal things that God has done. In this last 10 years, my mother has gotten baptized, my in-laws have gotten baptized, and just amazing. I thank God so much for all their baptisms, right? And now I guess it's up to you. What about you? When you look into your own life, as you look back at this past, we are 1-2 days more in this decade. What do you see when you look at your own life, right? What has God done for you? Where has God brought you from? It is true. Not everything that you had, you still now possess. But just having that is itself a gift, is it not? Right? So, you know, in these last moments of this, I guess for some, for you, it will be the last service of the year. You know, in my mind, I'm running through all my archives, running through all the years. And I especially thank you for your friendship, you know, for having known you, especially some of you who I've gotten known better, right? When I was in this recent Israel trip, I was just sharing a bit of my life, past long time, so all kind of grandfather stories, I'll tell them, right? And then some of them, one person came up to me, Pastor, now I realize that you're actually quite funny and not so scary. I didn't realize that if there's one of you out there who thinks I'm scary, you know, banish the thought from your mind. I'm not scary. I'm just very down-to-earth sort of guy, right? So I'm grateful for your friendship. I thank you. More than anything else is the friendship, the people that I've come to know. You are precious to me. And I always keep you in my mind in prayers to God. You guys have grown so much. But what about you? Have you yourself grown in the Lord? Right? Have you matured in your spirituality? Has your heart become a more sacred place of worship, a living stone upon which to build the altar of thanksgiving to God? Would you close your eyes even as we just reflect on that for a second? So many things to thank you for, Lord. The people in our life, the love that we've experienced from all kinds of people, and of course, the wonderful things you've done for us, places that you've brought us. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we are overwhelmed by all these things, not just the good things, but also the trials and the adversities which you've sent our way in order to polish us up to be that living stone for you. Lord, we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Lord. We want to say, Lord, we just want to thank you. It's hard to find words to express the sense of gratitude for having made it this far. And to know that you are there at the end of the road, waiting for each one of us with your open arms. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that there's no trial that's too great. There's no sea that's too hard to cross. We thank you that you are there with us and for us. And today, you are here. So thank you, Father. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters. Thank you to the family of Church Our Savior. If we could do this all over again, we probably would. Thank you for your perfect guidance to us as a church. And in our thanksgiving, Lord, we are anticipating more that we'll do as we roll over into the new decade, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. We stand together as we sing this closing song, right?
I come before you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank you, song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for all you've done in my life. You took my darkness and gave me your light. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to
thank you, Lord. You took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to
thank you. With a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you.
I don't know how many of you are Star Trek fans. Anyone here Star Trek fans? Right, yeah, some of you. Now you remember, Spock used to do this thing. Do you know why he does this thing? Because Spock, Leonard Nimoy, was a Jew. So when they wanted a sign, they asked him, and Leonard Nimoy, he remembered that growing up in a synagogue, the priest would do this. Right? Why does the priest do this? Because when they gave the Aaronic blessing, the Aaronic blessing was supposed to place the name of God on the children of Israel. But because they didn't want to mention the name of God, they do this instead. This was the old writing for the name of God. Right? So many of the Star Trek fans don't even know this. So they just do this on here. Actually, that's the name of God, right? But today, I would like to pray for you the Aaronic blessing, to place the name of God on us as a people, right? Yehovah bless you and keep you. Yehovah cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yehovah lift up His covenant upon you and give you peace. Amen, amen, amen. God bless all of you. I'll see you all back next year.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruz.org.sg. God bless.